I started a series last week on generosity. I think it's important, and so we're in part two. If you missed last week, I would encourage you. A lot of you guys walked away. I think I spent about $160 on fruits and veggies that we had up here. So how many of you guys took home some fruits and veggies last week? I don't have that this week. This week, I got another surprise for you. My wife's like, oh man, you're doing all kinds of illustrations this week, but we're on generosity. And I love the subtitle that we put under it is the freedom of a generous heart. Because when you have a generous heart, there is freedom. Let me tell you, when we are stingy and greedy, there is no freedom in your heart. I mean, it is bound up. And we live in a world, do we not, that is very corrupt, very greedy. And let me just say, I know some of you may think, oh, in the politics, it's not just there, it's everywhere. How many of you know everybody struggles with greed and selfishness and self-centeredness? We're just prone to it. We're prone to consumerism. Oh man, I got to buy that. And I want to tell you, as me individually, I want to make an eternal difference in this world. How many of you guys are with me? Do you want your life to actually count for something? Let me tell you, people that don't know the Lord, they want to build monuments to themselves. They want their name, put my name out there. How many of you realize in just a matter of time, it doesn't matter where your name's at, it's going to be forgotten. But the things that we do for eternity make a difference. When God uses you to reach somebody else with the gospel, that'll last eternity right there. And so that's what I want. And the enemy, well, he loves to say, oh, you're nobody. You're not going to amount to anything. You can never make a difference. Can I tell you, that's an absolute lie. And let me tell you, God used what we would call nobodies to be somebodies. Amen. God can use it. So I want to challenge our church. That's why we're in this series, to begin to think outside the box and think about the needs of others. And as we go through this coming year, we're going to be doing different focuses about helping people that are in needs in this area, but then around the world. But in order to do that, we have to have, and that's what I've titled this message today, a game plan for a generous life. We got to have it, because how many of you know, nobody becomes a generous person on accident. How are we born? We're born what? Selfish, right? Did anybody have your kids grow up and they just want to share all the time? No. I mean, what's the first word a lot of kids learn? Mine. Mine. Let me take that. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. And so that's kind of the, and let me tell you, sometimes when we get older, it doesn't change. You may not use the word, but you live it that way. And let me just tell you, as parents, you know, a lot of times we try to live a generous life. We want to put our kids first. We want them to, you know, we do things that we're not really comfortable doing or we don't really want to do because we want to bless our kids. And I can tell you, you know, my kids are all grown up, but when they were younger, when we did live in Colorado Springs, we wanted to take them and do something fun. I thought it was being generous, and we decided to go camping. Now, some of you guys love camping. How many of you guys are not campers? Your idea of camping is getting a good hotel close to the woods. You can go check it out. Yeah, see, I'm not the only one. I did my camping when I was in the military. That was enough. I didn't want any more, but it's like, okay, you know, our kids talk about it. We're like, okay, we're in Colorado Springs. The Rocky Mountains are right there. And we're like, okay, we're going to take them camping. We just got a bunch of old camping stuff from my parents, a tent, and we did it. Now, here's the thing. Beautiful place. That first day up there, great time. My wife had all these crafts planned and made the fire and did all of that. What we didn't realize is that in the Rocky Mountains in June, when the sun goes down, that temperature goes down to almost freezing. We were not prepared for that. I'm just telling you. We're all in this little tent, like shivering. The kids were sleeping great because we threw everything warm we could on them. It's like, here you go. And we're like freezing. It was the most miserable night ever. Let me tell you, when the sun started cracking over the horizon, I'm like, that's it, guys. We paid for 3 nights at that campground. We got up. I said, we're out of here. I didn't even roll up the stuff. We just threw it in the back of the van, and we're out. My generosity vein had run out. Like, I hope you guys enjoyed your one day and one night of camping, because we are out of here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We're all kind of prone to that selfishness and self-centeredness. And so I'm challenging you today to have a game plan to become generous in your life. You know, and how many of you guys, I've noticed this, okay? There are two different types of people. There are people that are planners, And they like to plan everything out. They like to have it all in order before they set out. And then there's the other group of people, and we're the ones, and I'm identifying myself as the ones that just kind of wing it sometimes. Right? I'm just going to wing, oh, yeah, we can do that. We'll figure it out. So I'm gonna do a test here. How many of you guys are planners? You like to plan it up. Look at all those hands that are here. Those are the ones that were here the earliest today. How many of you guys are the wing it? Come on, let's be honest. Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm not the only one. And let me tell you, in my wife and I's relationship, she's the planner. I didn't realize I was fortunate enough to marry a planner. And we have moved a number of times over the course of our married life. And every time we've made a decision like, okay, we're going to move. And you know, it's usually in the future. And we, I still have a couple of weeks of work left, and we're going to move. And I come home after that first day, half the house is already packed. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. And I remember when we were moving from Colorado to Texas, it was like, you know, we were interviewing at different churches. One church we had found out later had been trying to contact us, but my wife was such an efficient planner, she packed up the answering machine 2 weeks earlier. And it's like, we're out of here. Because we go on a trip. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. And so, like, several weeks in advance, she's already checking out hotel prices, all of that. Now, for me, it's like, if it were up to me, we're gonna move. It would be like the day before we're moving. And I would say, hey, listen, maybe we should pack up some stuff. Anybody else like that? Do we got any extra boxes around here? Or you know, we're going to go on this trip and we're driving. And it's like, hey, we should find a hotel. I'm just thankful I married a planner. But let me just say, the reason I'm telling you that is same with the generous life. You're never going to get there on accident. You got to have a plan. You got to have a game plan to get there. And here's what I want us to understand is that the goal of every Christian should be to live a generous life. We should be living a generous life because aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? Isn't God generous with us? How many of you realize God has called us to be contributors, not consumers? Yeah. Amen? God says, it's not about what we can take, it's what can we bring. Let me do the ask not what you... No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, my mind goes like haywire sometimes. Let me just say, everywhere, if you're a follower of Christ, everywhere you go, that place should be better because you're there. Amen. Too many people just kind of wing it like, oh, let me do the minimum. Your job asks you to do something that you smart off with like, well, I'm not hired to do that. That's not what you hire. I'm not doing that one. That shouldn't be a believer. We should make things better because we're there, because we show up. We should show up with our generosity and our time. Amen. We should show up with our attention, the talents that God has given you, your abilities, your stuff, and yes, even your money. So generosity, I believe it's not even an option if you're a follower of Christ. It's not even an option. It's a lifestyle that we should live because it's the lifestyle that God modeled for us. Amen? It's the lifestyle that Jesus lived. And listen, like I said, our God is a generous God. Amen? He is a generous God. I want to give you 7 verses for a generous life. I just have the address in your notes, but you can look them up later if you want. Hebrews 13:16, it says, do not forget to, and there's so many more I could have put in here, but I want us to get an idea of what God is trying to lead us to. Do not forget to do good and to do what? Share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How do I please God? You share with others. You take that. The next one, Proverbs 19:70. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. And look what it says, and he will reward him for what he has done. Like when you are helping other people that are less fortunate, God honors that. Amen? That pleases God. Romans 12:13, it says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's got to be something that we do on a regular basis. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possession, and this one's kind of convicting. You got material possession, you see your brother in need, but you have no pity on him. Check this out. How can the love of God be in you? Ow, right? How can the love of God be, if I can see somebody in need and my heart is so calloused that I can just walk by and like, wow, bummer for you. Looks like you're having a struggle. I'm sure glad that's not me. Listen, is the love of God even there? Is it even there? Look at 1 Timothy 6:18. Command those who are, and look, it's command, right? Not suggest. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. That's our action. And to be generous and willing to share. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 8:7. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, like how many of you know, there's a lot of people that have their mouth, oh, I love God, I serve him, I do all of that. But he says this, also excel in the grace of giving. Last one, Psalms 37. He goes, and it was funny, our first service. It says, I was young and now I am old. And all of them identified with that second part right there. In this group, it's like both on both sides. But I love the fact about the being old, because when you're old, how many of you know, you see the things God has done and he has proven himself faithful. And you realize it's not like when you're young and you hear about how faithful God is. You don't really have that experience yet until you've walked through it. When you get older, you can look back and, you know, one of the songs that we sing, all my life, you have been faithful. Can I tell you, if you're 6 years old singing that song, it's like, well, wasn't very long. But well, let me tell you, when you hit 60, 70, 80 years, you're like, God, you are so good. And look what he says. Now that I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous. And they lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Listen, when you live a generous life, it puts your children in a place of blessing. Yeah. Amen? The righteous are generous people, and their children are not going to be, let's just make a declaration, not rotten, selfish, all about me kind of people. Yeah. How many of you know there's enough of that? And let me just say, Colleen and I's greatest joy is that our kids are blessed. Our kids are more blessed at their age right now than we were at that age. And that's just God's, I think that's God. And that not only that, all of them are being a blessing to other people. All right, you see two of them here with their spouses, but you know, my daughter and her husband up in Washington, they are a blessing wherever they go. Isn't that a greatest blessing right there? So today I want to look at a church out of 2 Corinthians, and I'm not talking about the Corinthian church, but it's a church that God honored. Paul wrote about this church, and it's reflected in this book. So if you don't know, Paul basically wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he went planting churches all over the area, and he got to Corinth. He's writing this letter to Corinth. It's about the church in Macedonia, and he says this, they, talking about that church there, they are being tested by many troubles. Anybody can identify being having many troubles. I almost sang this in our first service. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. No, I'm just kidding. They had many troubles, and they were what? Not just poor. How many of you know, I heard a comedian say, I was so poor, I was just po. I couldn't even afford the OR, right? They were very poor. Maybe I should have just left that off there. He says, but they were also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed into rich generosity. Amen? You know what that tells me right there? Even though they had many troubles, even though they were very poor, they had abundant joy. And I think that's what we need to understand. There's a difference between joy and happiness, because happiness is simply determined by the circumstances of your life. If everything's going good, then you can be happy, right? But joy is bigger than the stuff you have. Joy is bigger than the circumstances in your life. It's about who you carry with you on the inside. When you've got Jesus on the inside and you've got a real connection with him, you can have joy despite how much money you have in your bank account. I mean, if you don't have much in there, stop looking at it and say, focus on Jesus. It's about the hope that you carry. Like you can be in the middle, like in the very middle of a great trial. You can have just gone to the doctor and got the worst diagnosis possible. You could have relational heartache going on in your life. But guess what? You can still have joy. Amen? You can still have joy. Like I said, it's not dependent on the circumstances. It's dependent on the Jesus within you. Amen? The joy of the Lord. And when you have joy, it's automatically going to overflow. It's like, I've got so much joy, it's overflowing in rich generosity. That just becomes who you are. And the Macedonian church demonstrated that. They had troubles, they were dirt poor, but they still had abundant joy, amen? Now, I know sometimes people are like, well, I'll be happy when this, that, and the other thing happens. Oh man, you can be happy right now with the joy of the Lord, amen? Amen? So let's move on. That was verse 2. Verse 3, he says, for I can testify that they not only gave what they could afford, and I know a lot of times, if you're just giving what you can afford, how many of you know that's not generosity? It's generous than some people, but look what he says, but far more. When you have joy in your heart, then God overflows, and it's like, I got to give more, right? I have so much joy and so much thanks to God, and it says, and they did it of their own free will. How many of you know there is no manipulation? I know sometimes churches can be guilty of manipulating and guilting people into giving. And let me tell you, you're not going to get that here. Because I believe that the spigot that turns generosity on is Jesus, not my ability to coerce anybody. Amen? He says they gave it of their own free will. And I love this. Like they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing. And I think about that sometimes. I'm like, if I know somebody is financially struggling and they're like, hey, listen, God told me to give this offering and I know that's more than what they can afford, there's a part of me that wants to say, no, 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 you just need to keep that. You need to keep that. And the Lord showed me years ago, it's like, you're not the one that is blessing them and you can't steal their blessing because they want to do this. It's something in them. And listen, God is the one that blesses them. And I've seen it over and over. And so it says, they begged again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gifts for the believers in Jerusalem. Weren't even around them. And then look at verse 5. It says, but even more, they even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. How many of you know that's always the first action? It's what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. God goes first. Put God first. If you put him first, then God takes care of everything else. Amen? God takes care of everything else. And so they gave first to the Lord, and then it says, and to us. Who is us? Paul, you know, originating out of, he wasn't from Jerusalem, but that's where his people were. And that's who it's talking about, is a church in Jerusalem. Now let me show you a map here. So Jerusalem is way down here. And the churches in Macedonia are in this area. And Paul started a lot of those. There's Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi that are up here. And those churches were struggling. And why do I show that? Because that's like 1,400 miles from there to go down to there. That's a long ways, especially when you don't have a car, you don't have an airplane. It's like you're either walking, riding a horse or a donkey, and if you're lucky, maybe you can get a boat there, but Paul didn't have a lot of luck on boats, so I wouldn't recommend that route. A lot of shipwrecks that happen. But here's the thing. They had enough trouble. They heard about a need that was down here, and they didn't cop this attitude like, wow, you know what? They got problems. We got problems. How many of you know a lot of times that's our attitude? It's like, well, you know what? I'll pray for them, but you know what? That's their problem. I've got enough troubles, and I'm dirt poor as it is. But guess what? That church was led of the Spirit to say, there's a need there, and I want to meet it. I want to help it. And let me tell you, that's why, you know, as a church, if you weren't here last week, we talked about as a church, we gave over $8,500 to India, Good News India, that's going to help rescuing people that so they don't get into human trafficking, orphans, lepers. I mean, there's so many things that they do. And it's like, we're probably going to never meet any of them. Why would we do that? Don't we have enough troubles of our own? Don't we have enough struggles? And that's you guys doing that. But that's what a Spirit-led church does. It says, you know what? I'm going to meet the needs. I'm going to be generous when those needs happen. Amen? And they wanted to help fund the needs that were in Jerusalem. Listen, 2,000 years later, how many of you know that's still the same problem that we have now? Amen? So why am I talking about this? I wanted to get our mind bigger that our generosity really becomes generosity, especially when it doesn't affect you personally. Like I can be generous with my kids really easy because those are my kids. But it becomes a little bit more of difficult when it's people that I don't even know. Or maybe people that have burned a bridge a few times. It's like, sorry, you burned that bridge too many times. No, we want to be generous people. Where when we hear about needs around the world, and you guys can see all the missionaries that we support on the back wall there, when I say us, we all send money out every time. And when there's needs, sometimes we send more. So don't think that, well, I've got my own problems. So did the church in Macedonia. But there is still, we got to begin to think bigger than that. Amen. I believe that when we think bigger than that, that's a church that's going to change the world. Amen? Well, everything's going to be the same. No, it's going to change the lives of people in Africa, in Europe, in South America, in El Dorado Hills, in Placerville, in Cameron Park. Listen, do you guys realize that last year we baptized over 20 people? Amen? At the fairgrounds, we were out there, and thank God the weather wasn't bad, but we were able to hand out gospel literature to thousands of people that day. Listen, we are making a difference whether you guys realize it or not, and that's because of sacrifices there. So I want to give us the game plan today, generosity game plan, and the first one, for if I'm going to become a generous person, I've got to recognize ownership in my life. I've got to realize that what I have, God actually owns everything. Amen. How many of you guys realize that? Like, I know we kind of get messed up sometimes with our language because we say, hey, listen, don't talk about my money. A lot of people, oh, I don't like it when churches talk about my money. My this, my that, my car, right? My house, my stuff, my vacation time. Don't be talking about, don't talk about that. My free time. Listen, are we really a generous person? If everything is mine, guess what? We've kind of identified ourselves back at that toddler. Mine, mine, mine. Isn't that true? Listen, if that's the reality, if that's our mindset, then we really don't understand ownership. Because anything you and I have, it's not ours. It's all on loan from God. We got it for a short time. And God's seeing how faithful we are. Here's the fill-in in your notes. Everything we have, it is a gift from God. Amen? Everything you have, it is a gift from God. And listen, you're like, but I worked for it. I came up with this idea. I created that. Really? Let me just say, if you were born like in the Amazon rainforest, and that was your life right there, how many of you think you would have the same opportunities you have now? Right? It would be different. Why is it God's? Because God put me in a place where I can have opportunity that I wouldn't have any other way. God has given us the mindset to be smart, to think of things. Here's what the scripture says in Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's and what? Everything. That means everything, right? Everything in it. And it says the world and all of its people belong to God. We all belong to Him. So here's the reality. It's not your money. It's not your car. It's not your house. It's not your 401k. Oh, wait a minute. That's my 401k. Listen, we've got to. Why? Because it all belongs to the Lord. And so we have to change how we look at stuff in our life. We've got to realize that if we don't change that, then we're going to be focused on selfishness all of our life. And so I want to challenge you that some of the stuff in your, you know, and it's like, how many of you know some of the stuff in your life looks really good? I know you're like, well, not my car. You haven't seen my car. But hey, listen, some of it looks really good. And so we're tending to think that, oh man, I did a good job. Maybe you completed something. Maybe you accomplished something. And you're like, oh, that's it. Look what I did. I built my house. Look at what I did. You know what? I built this business. Look at what I did. And the things that we accomplish can become what we would consider our masterpiece. Look at all this stuff that I did. All of these good things. I did that. And so I wanted to look at a few masterpieces that that some of you guys may be... what's the name of this painting right here? All right. Who painted it? Van Gogh. Van Gogh. Nobody could figure it out in first service, so good job. And this one over here? Who painted that one? Da Vinci. Da Vinci. And the last one down here? Who painted that one? Who, did I hear someone say me? It was a Michelangelo? I don't know. It was somebody. It wasn't me, I can tell you that. And it wasn't Robert, so I'm telling you that as well. Even though he said that. Here's the thing. Why do I bring that? Because we can do great things. We can look, oh man, look at my job. I did that. Look at my business. I did that. Look at my marriage. I did that. Look how well my kids turned out. I did that. Look at my health. I take care of myself. I did that. Look at how smart I am. My degrees, my IQ. And we can think all of that as our masterpiece and that we did it. But let me show you who you really are. And I'm including myself in that. How many of you know what that is? A paint palette. And let me just say, there's my nice little, this is you. I know stick figure. I'm claiming that by faith right there. Maybe not that thin right there, but this is really who we are. And what we don't realize is that God comes along and he puts different things in our life. He has different spiritual gifts. How many of you know everybody's got different spiritual gifts? And he's like, listen, I'm going to gift them in this area with that. And so he pours that out. Nobody's got the same. I mean, you know, some people have similar gifts, but what makes it different is that all of us have kind of a different heart, different passions, different things that really stir them up. Maybe you're passionate about ministering to kids. Maybe you're passionate about getting the Bible to people that don't have one. So you all, everybody's got a different heart, and God is the one that has given that to you. God puts those passions in your life for a reason. Not only that, how many of you know you all got different personalities? Hopefully you only got one personality, but you all got different personalities. And God put that in there. Like, you may have the same gifts, you may have the same abilities as other people, but your personality makes it different, and God puts that in you. I mean, like, even if you have, Joshua and Heather have twins, their personalities are completely different. One of them will smile at you in a heartbeat. The other one, you don't get to see the smile. It's only those of us that are behind the scenes. So they're completely different. Not only that, how many of you know everybody? Oh, I knew it was going to happen. This black got me in the first service. So we all have different experiences. Everybody come from different experiences in life. God, how many of you know God uses your good experiences, but he also uses the bad experiences in your life? God doesn't waste a hurt. He doesn't waste a trial. He uses that for his good if we will allow him. And then the last one is our abilities, and that's our talents. Some of you guys are super talented with woodworking. Some of you guys are talented with maybe working on cars. Some women are good at, or well, let's say, sewing. I'm not trying to classify. Don't call me a sexist, please. Some people are good at all kinds of things, all right? And so that's all of our experiences. And what happens is that we come to God and we're like, oh, I've got all of this. And let me tell you, what makes a difference is if you allow God to work in your life and you begin to put God first, then God takes all of these things that he's put in your life. And yes, he can create a masterpiece out of it. Amen. He can create that. But here's the problem. A lot of times we're like, and I'm going to move this so hopefully everybody can get a view of this. What happens a lot of times is like, oh man, I've got this skill. I've got this ability. I've got this gift in my life, and I'm going to do something on my own. I don't need God because I've already got it together. And so we're like, you know, this is the best that we can usually do without God is, let me see here. I'm really good at this, so I want you to be, we're going to be selling this here in a little bit. Oh man, my skill. Yeah, thank you. And it's like, oh, let me get a little bit more of this right here. Here we go. I'm not making a stick figure. This guy's eating some ribs and stuff. Yeah, look at the shading that I got on it. That's pretty, yeah, I mean, it's pretty comparable there. He needs a little bit, he needs some arms here, so I like to mix the colors to make it, give it a little style. You know, he's got something going on in this arm here. It's a little bit different color, but, you know, let's give him some fingers. Oh, yeah, here we go. Let's not forget his legs. Yeah, he's got some big feet. It's kind of Mickey Mouse there. There we go. And then, you know, you make, oh, he kind of needs some buttons on his there. Give him some pants because we're in church. It's kind of like Mickey Mouse there. He really needs a little bit of hair, doesn't he? There we go. Let's give him eyes. There we go. So listen, this is my masterpiece. I've taken the things that God has given me, and, I'm not done yet. I got to sign it. There we go. We are going to be auctioning this off later to help pay off our building, just so you guys know. But the reason I wanted to show that is because this is kind of, if we think ownership, this is my talent. I did this. Listen, in life, you may be able to create some things, but I want to tell you it's nothing compared to what would happen if you allow the Lord to use your gifts and your talents and you put him first. How many of you know God is the master artist? Amen. We're just this. This is really who we are. And it's like, okay, God, until I come and give you who I am, and listen, without him, all of these things are kind of messy, aren't they? I'm going to put this down before I make bigger mess. So, Randy, later on, we're going to need to get some water up here. So, it is water soluble, so I didn't use any. Here's the thing. I've got this stuff all over me. I'm thankful Stephanie gave me some wipes because I don't want to. As a matter of fact, I think I need to move. Where's Joshua at? Can you just move that? Because that's going to be a real distraction. So, yeah, I know everybody. Be careful because the paints are ready to fall. It looks like Joshua. Wow. So why am I saying that? Because the things God has put in our life, he owns it all. And it never gets used appropriately until I begin to put him first. Until I begin to recognize, God, you've given me everything. And here's the next fill-in in your notes. My gifts, they're really a product of his grace. Amen? The things that God has given me the ability to do, the wisdom to do, we're not like, ooh, look at my degree, look at my family, look at all of this stuff. No, it's the only thing I can bring to the table is just who I am. And yes, it may be a mess, but God's the one that can make a masterpiece out of your life. Amen? God's the one that can do it. So we need to recognize who the real owner is and walk with a spirit of gratitude. God, thank you that you've given me a mind that can figure this math problem out, right? Or thank you for giving me the ability to work with this wood or whatever it may be. Amen? And so ownership, if you're going to be a generous person, that's the first step. I got to realize, okay, God, you own it all already. You own it all already, and so my job is just to begin to be number two in this, is a good steward of what you've already given me. Amen? I've got to manage well the things. And let me just say this. If you want more in your life, how many of you know you got to manage what you already got? Right? You got to take care of what you already have. And so we've got to actually evaluate, how am I handling the things that God has already put in my hand? How am I handling it? Because this is a truth. How you handle some things is how you're going to handle everything. Isn't that true? A lot of people are like, well, you know what? If I hit the lotto, you know what? If I get this, if I get that, then I'll start managing everything well. It doesn't work like that. If I can't manage the little that God has given me, what makes me think I'm going to start managing bigger? How many of you have seen most lotto people that win the lotto? They go broke within a few years. Right? Tragedy hits them because they never learn to manage the little that they had. Amen? And the scripture teaches, Jesus teaches, be faithful with the little that God's put, and he will entrust us with more. Amen? That's a basic spiritual. God's a wise leader. How many of you know he's not going to distribute into your life what you can't handle? How many of you know that's a good thing? He's not going to give you what you can't handle. So maybe you're out there and you're praying for a new house. Wouldn't that be great? Especially with the interest rates today. Man, I would love that. But here's the question. God can do it. The question is, how are you handling the apartment you have right now? Well, that place is a dump. Well, clean it up then. Right? Take care of it. You may want a new car. You know, you may be praying for a, what year is this? 2015 Mercedes-Benz or something like that. Man, and I pray that God will bless that to you. But here's the question. How are you treating your 92 Corolla that you have right now? That car's a piece of junk, you know. Throw trash in it. Do whatever like that. Listen, if you expect God to give you more, we got to treat what we already have right. Amen? Look at what 1 Corinthians 4:2 says. Now, it is required, how many of you know, not suggested, that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. What is the trust? Well, the trust is whatever God's given you. Your talents, your time. How many of you know God has given that? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, the scripture says. Like, this could be it. How have you handled your time? How have you handled your treasure? How have you handled the things that God has put in your life? Am I faithful with it? Right? And what I have realized over the years is that every spending decision, it is a spiritual decision. You know, and I counted up the months. We've been a one-car family, Colleen and I, for 17 months now. And we keep thinking about getting another car because, you know what, you're supposed to have two cars. There's two of us, and there's times that we've needed it, but it's like we haven't stepped because it's like, we've looked at a couple of different options and prayed about it and just haven't felt released on it yet because I don't know if I want my finances tied up into another car at this moment. And so you got to really begin to pray about it and seek about it. This is a spiritual decision. And listen, I don't want to be all legalistic about it. Like, oh man, every spending. So if I go to Starbucks, that's a spiritual decision. Let me just say, if you go and you get one every now and then, I'm not going to say that's a spiritual decision. But I want to tell you, if you're buying a $6 drink every day of the week for an entire month, you're going to be spending close to $200. That is a spiritual decision. You got to begin to determine, okay, when there's a need arise, I don't have the money because I just blew $200 this last month on coffee. I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to be real here. As a believer, can I tell you, we should live off of a budget. Yep. Eight of you guys agree with that. How many of you know a budget actually dictates the priorities of your life? It really does. We don't spend randomly because when you don't have a budget, how many of you know, you just, yeah, I'm going to get that. I still got money in my bank. And then you're like out of money and it's still 10 more days till you get paid. You're like, oh, ouch, right? Here's a stat that I read the other day. 28% of Americans are still paying off Christmas from 2023. I know, it's 2025. Like, do we even know where those gifts are anymore? Especially if you gave them to your kids. How many of you know those things are long gone? Right? And you're still paying for it. Right? And that's, here's the thing. As a follower of Christ, we should not be carrying debt on our credit card. And I'm going to be honest with you. Pastor Colleen and I, we were in that hole twice. It's like we got in the hole credit cards and God, you know, blessed us, helped us to get out. And I don't even remember what the circumstances are, but we got back in it. And it was like, but not as deep of a hole. Listen, after we got out the last time, we both vowed never again. Never again. And it's been a long time now since we've had that because I don't want to be in debt to a lender. All right? I don't want that to hold me. And so here's the thing. I love Dave Ramsey used to say, get scissors and cut it up. But how many of you know you don't even need your credit card because it's all saved on everything? You already got your credit card saved on Amazon already. Right, I don't need the plastic. I've already got I know the number, right? We need to cancel that sucker. If we can't keep it responsibly, and listen, I just wanted to give this out here. Financial Peace University, how many of you guys have been through that before? Look, there's several hands. This is Dave Ramsey. Listen, if you've never taken it, you can do an online class with it. And if you don't have the money to be able to take the class, please come see me and we will help you to do that. Because I believe that once you can get your finances in order, when you can begin to live by a real budget, then God will begin to open up opportunities for you to be generous in life. Amen? Amen? Wouldn't that be amazing to not have some of that crazy debt so that when you hear about somebody with a need, you actually have room to be able to meet that need? Yeah. Amen? Too many people are like, I'd like to help, but I can't. I'd like to help, but I can't. It's time for us to start saying, God, help me to be a good steward of the things that you have put in my life. Amen? So that's number two. That's his next step. So realize God owns it. Secondly, we've got to be good stewards. And number three is about tithing. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I talked about it last week. But we've got to get to the place in our life where we begin to honor God by giving him our first. Amen. God's got to be first in my life. He's got to be first in my family or my finances. And listen, I want to show it. I do show it. Every time I get paid, I'm giving God that first 10%. Amen. I have found out if I try to give him the last 10%, anybody else, you're like, it's gone. Right? It's gone. God, you know, like, God, here's 3%. Take that one, right? But here's what the scripture says, Proverbs 3. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And I know some of you are like, I don't have any wealth. I got chump change in my life. Hey, listen, do you realize that as even poor here in America, you got more money than most people around the world? Isn't that true? And so he says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And you're like, I don't have much. But listen, if you make $100, guess what? $10 goes to God. All right, I'm giving it to him first. And when this happens, what does he say? Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. How many of you know God is the one that blesses? And it's so true that you cannot outgive God. I know it's somewhat of a cliche, but those that have lived it know that it's true. And I believe that God cares about how we handle our money because I talked about this last week, where our money goes, what does the scripture say? Our heart goes. So whatever we put it on. So anytime I get paid, if I get a blessing, I'm going to give it to God. And here's what I have realized, that every paycheck, it's a test of priorities in my life. Well, I can give, you know, God's a priority. God's a priority. How do you demonstrate that? Like when you get paid, is the first thing you're thinking, oh, I got to pay the mortgage. Because if you do, that means that security is your priority. All right? If you get paid, oh, man, let's go buy Starbucks first. Let's go buy Dutch Brothers, whichever one you want, because expensive caffeine becomes your priority. Or maybe this, you know what? I just got paid. Awesome. I'm going online. I'm going to Target, right? Or I'm going online to Amazon. Then consumerism is your priority, right? Whatever we think of first, that is our priority. And so last week I started, and a couple of people said that they're going to take us up on it, a 90-day tithe challenge. And that is testing God. Okay, God. And listen, if you didn't get one of these cards, we got some more out there. But it's got a verse that's on the back, Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. How many of you know that's where you worship? That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much of a blessing that you will not have enough room for it. This is a principle that is true. And listen, I could point out several people in this room right here that I've heard their testimony and how they were down dirt poor, just like the Macedonian church, but they continued to give anyway, and God has poured out such a blessing in them. See, it doesn't mean that you're not going to still go through tight times. It is a test. You're really going through a test. It's like, okay, God, it's easy to make giving to God a priority when you have an abundance. But how many of you know when things are tight, when you're like, oh man, God, I don't know if I can do this. You're like, but Lord, I'm going to do it anyway because I am going to honor you. Yeah. And I want to tell you, as the time goes on and you stay faithful, God is going to be faithful to you. Amen. Amen. Let me give you a real quick here. We have a bulletin or a thing out on the thing that says 9 reasons I tithe. I'm going to give you 5 of them real quick. This isn't in your notes, but tithing, it puts God first in my life, and I need God first in my life. I know, well, you're a pastor, you know, shouldn't God always be? Let me tell you, my priorities can get out of whack like anybody else's, all right? And so I want to put him first there. Secondly, tithing funds God's work through his church. Like all the missionaries that we support, all the activities, all the people that we reach out to. And guess what? Even you being fed spiritually every week, it wouldn't happen if we didn't have lights on. Right? It wouldn't happen any other way. So I want to fund the work of God's kingdom throughout this world. Amen? Local and abroad. Third thing, tithing positions my life for God's favor and blessing. Let me just say, God blesses when we walk in obedience to him. But, and this is so interesting, so many people want the blessings of God, but they want to do it their way. Isn't that right? Well, you know what? I'm just going to do this, and I still want God's blessing. It doesn't work that way. You've got to position yourself by being obedient to God. And I'm not just talking of finances. I'm talking about in lifestyle. All right, I'm talking about choices you make on a regular basis. I want to honor God. Next one, tithing breaks greed off of my life, because that stupid greed and consumerism is there. And I believe that it also breaks fear. Because I remember when we were challenged to start giving God that 10%, it was like fear and trembling that was taking place. But let me tell you, the longer that I have done it, I don't have that fear anymore because I have found that God is always faithful. I can give it in good times and I can give it in tight times because my dependence is not on my paycheck, but it's on God. Amen. And then the last one, God gives my job an eternal impact. And I love that. I don't even know who I heard that from, but I'm giving it to you. That means your job, whatever it is that you do, think about it this way. Every 10th hour you work, you're doing all that for God. All right? Every 10th hour, it's like, okay, God, this job right now has an eternal impact because of you. Amen? And let me just say the last one, number four, generosity game plan. You got to be generous. And we got to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to guide us. That means that you don't meet, how many of you know you can't meet every need, right? And I mean, if you can, I'll come up and see me because we got a building we want to pay off, right? So we can't meet every need, but we can meet some needs. And God, being led of the Holy Spirit, leads you to the people. And let me tell you, some people pray on, oh, you're a Christian, you got to give to me. No, I'm going to give to those that I feel the Lord leading us to. Amen. I'm going to give to the ones that I feel like God is saying, listen, this is the person. This is the situation. When we present needs up here, like I said, Good News India, many of you guys responded and, you know, $8,500 that is going there. And it's like, why? Because that's being spirit led. That's like, okay, God, I want to sow into that. So I want to get to the place in my life that when there's a need, I can give. Amen. I want to be able to give. I want to walk around my world and say, how can I be a blessing? Isn't that what being led of the Spirit is? Okay, God, well, how can I? And it not always financially. How many of you know sometimes it's just taking time with somebody? Sometimes people don't need your money. They just need somebody to give them a hug, right? They may need somebody to give them a phone call. Hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. You doing okay? Can I bring you anything? Can I do anything for you? So generosity is a lifestyle. So anytime you have extra time, maybe you say, okay, God, what can I do with this extra time? You know, you may want to go fish and do something fun. Nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you got extra time. I want to be able to help somebody. Oh, what? I heard you had a fence blow down. How can I come over there and help you? What can I do to help that? Oh, you're moving? Let me tell you, I hate helping people move, but I do it anyway. Anybody hate it, right? But I do it anyway because I want to tell you the many times that I've moved and people have come and helped me, I want to pay that back. And so anytime there's an opportunity, I'm going to do it, right? It's not fun, but I realize how blessed I have been. I want to be that blessing to other people, amen? Whatever it is that God has given you, being led of the Spirit, that's what, I'm skipping over. Anytime you have more, you got to ask yourself that question, what is the more for? But here's the verse, Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I want to be led by His Spirit, amen? I don't want to live my life with this needy attitude. Nobody's meeting my need. Nobody's giving to me. Nobody's doing that. I want to shift my thinking and say, God, how can you use me to be a blessing to somebody else? Amen. How many of you know that's what it really, I don't think the church would have a bad rap from some people if everybody actually lived that way. If everybody actually lived the way like, hey, listen, oh, what do you need? How can I help you? How can I bless you? What can I do for you? And not just people within the church. How many of you know people outside the church? Right? Then the name of Christ would be spread. And so I want to live that kind of life. Can I tell you, that's the life that changes people's lives. The scripture says that God brought us, He drew us by His kindness. It's His kindness that brought us to repentance. Right? Not you know, get on the corner and preach, you know what, heaven or hell, you choose. Right? I can preach that all I want, but what's going to show and touch people's heart is our kindness in showing the love of Christ to people. Amen? So I'm going to get ready to close this out. And Timothy, if you want to come up. I want to close it with a verse about Abraham. And Abraham, he was growing up, he was just Abram at the time, 75 years old, had no children, which was kind of a disgrace back then, because it's like, oh, you know, your children were your blessing. He didn't have any kids. And then God showed up to him, and in Genesis 12:2, let's just move this over here, that way you can be seen. He says this, God shows up, I'm going to make you into a great nation. How many of you know that's good news for Abraham? It's like, what? That means I got to have kids, right? That means you're going to bless me. And at 75 years old, how many of you know, doesn't matter how old you are, God can bless you, right? You're like, oh, I'm over the hill. Well, maybe in terms of this world, you're never over the hill in God's world, all right? I mean, listen, he's a little older than you. Isn't that right? So he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. There's another box. Okay, I'll take God's blessing. Anybody in for God's blessing? Amen. Then he says, I will make your name great. There's a lot of people on Instagram and YouTube trying to make their name great, right? You know, I want to be an influencer. How many of you know Abraham was the first influencer? All right, because his name, God made his name great. But then he says this, why? And you will be a blessing. Amen. I want to tell you that God is not going to bless a person that is stingy. If God pours out blessing, you're like, ooh, thanks, God. Thanks for that blessing. And you just keep pulling it in and in and in, and you never realize that God blessed you to bless other people. Can I tell you, the spigot's going to get turned off. You're going to be like, why isn't God blessing me anymore? Well, who are you blessing? That's basically the last feeling. God blesses your life in order for you to be a blessing to other people. Why are you talking about this? Because God has blessed us. And Lord, how can we be a blessing to this world around us? You guys have neighbors, you got coworkers, you got people around. Do you realize God put you in that place to be a blessing to them? Maybe the one that might speak a word of encouragement to them. Maybe the one that actually cares and you notice that they're down instead of, you know, I know us as men, we're like, oh yeah, I don't want to mess with that. There's too many emotions, right? I mean, isn't that interesting? Women, it's like they all go to the bathroom together when there's a, oh, but in men, it's like, oh, we're out of here. I can hold it to the next later, right? So God put us in the place to bless others, to be a blessing. And when God blesses your life, don't think, me, me, me. Think about, okay, God, how can I use this to bless someone else? Because God is a generous God. And I just want to say this, that when God had all he... How many of you know God didn't need us? He was complete without us. But the Bible says, and this is a obviously well-known verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave. How many of you know giving started with God? Generosity started with God. That he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He didn't leave us broken. Amen? Can anybody give a testimony before Jesus? You were broken. My hand is up. Doesn't mean your life was a mess, but how many of you know broken is broken? I love what it says in Romans 5:8, and I put it in the Message version. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in a sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. Ow. You weren't any use then, but let me tell you, when you begin, like, I don't have my paint palette, but when you begin to take what God has done in your life, what God has given you, the big, mad mistakes that you've made, the good choices you've made, and you give it to God, God paints a masterpiece out of your life. So can I have everybody stand? I hope you guys hear my heart. My heart is not about, ooh, I got to get more money from people. No, I just want God to have your heart. And I want Freedom Church to be the biggest blessing in El Dorado County and to the that we can be. You know, we're not a mega church. We're not like, ooh, thousands of people. But I want to tell you, God's not measuring that. He's measuring our heart. And I want to be the church like Macedonia. Oh, I've got troubles, and we've got troubles. We could raise our hand and have troubles, right? Some people have a lot, some people don't have much. but I want to have that joy. I want to have that abundant joy that they had. Didn't deal with circumstances, but they had joy because they had Jesus. And so as everybody, if you'll just bow your heads, listen, if you're here today and you're like, I want to surrender my life afresh to Jesus. Maybe you've done it before and you know you've walked away, or maybe you never have. I'm not going to call you up to the front or anything, but I'm just going to say, if you wanted to say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to make a fresh start today. Just raise your hand and then you can put it back down. If there's anyone just says, I want to make a new start with him.